A bit. And many times we think that all we need to do to have greater success is just try a little bit harder, work a little bit harder, give it a little bit more oomph, and everything's going to turn around. But, you know, sometimes that's not enough, because what if you're doing the wrong thing? What if you're doing it the wrong way? Then actually working harder could cause you to go further the wrong direction, could actually make it harder on you. It kind of reminds me of this this blonde. She wanted to earn some extra money, and so she got this idea. She went over to the nice neighborhood of town. She started knocking on doors to see if there was some work she could do. And she goes to this one house, and the man answers the door, and she said, "You know, sir, I want to make some extra money. Is there any work I could do?" And he said, "Well, do you know how to paint?" She said, "Oh, yes, I'm a good painter." He said, "Okay, well, go in the back, take a look at the porch, and tell me how much you'd charge me to paint the porch." So she goes to the back and comes back and said, "Oh, seriously, I'll do that for $200." He said, "You're on. The paint's in the garage." 45 minutes later, she came back. She said, "Sir, I'm done." He was shocked at how fast she did it. Then she said, "Not only that, sir," she said, "you know, I had paint left over, so I painted it twice." "Oh, one more thing. That's not a Porsche, that's a Ferrari." Okay. Some of you are missing that play on words. Porch, Porsche. You know, I'm sorry. If you got to explain them, they're no good. Okay. Yeah. You know what would help me if you didn't mind? Could we figure out without anybody being disturbed? I mean, if you paid for these seats when you opened up the church, it's okay. You know, I know sometimes. But if I only had to speak to two sections instead of three sections, it would be easier. So with this section here, now, again, you don't have to, but I'm not going to ignore you if you don't. No, but the only thing in this section, if you wouldn't mind coming over to one of these two, I'm going to move a little bit more this way, and it just makes it a little bit easier on me, okay? Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, I mentioned to you this morning that after 10 years of being a widower, I decided to made the decision to get married. And, you know, one of the reasons was, you know, if you're going to get married again, you want to do it before you get too old. There was this couple, I think they waited a little bit too long, because after he proposed to her and she said yes, they go for a walk to talk about their wedding plans. And he happened to walk by Walgreens. He said, "Just a minute." So he goes into the Walgreens and he said, "I need to see the pharmacist." So the pharmacist came out and said, "Sir," he said, "I'm about to get married. I want to know, do you have heart medication?" And he says, "Well, yes, I do." He said, "Well, do you have medication for circulation, rheumatism, memory problems, arthritis, and Alzheimer's?" And he said, "Well, yes, we carry that too." And he says, "Okay, well, how about vitamins and sleeping pills and geritol?" He said, "Oh, yeah, we have that too." He said, "Okay, do you have anything for heartburn and indigestion?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, do you carry wheelchairs and canes?" He said, "Yes, we carry that too." He said, "Good, we're going to list you in our bridal registry." That's when you probably waited too long, you know. Yeah, yeah. When you're listing that in your bridal registry, yeah. You know, now my challenge, though, is, you know, I've got all these birthdays to remember. I have 5 children, and I have 15 grandchildren. And 4 of my children are married, so that's 5, that's 9 of my children and 15 grandchildren. Then Sharon has 3 children, 2 married, so that's 5 more. And she's got 4 grandchildren, so that's 14 and 19? Yeah, that's a lot of birthdays. Oh my goodness, her birthday! I mean, oh my goodness. How many of you know you don't want to forget your wife's birthday? Oh yes. There was this guy, he forgot his wife's birthday. She was absolutely livid. She was so upset with him. Finally he says, "Oh, honey, please forgive me." She said, "Okay, I'll forgive you, but you better have my birthday present for me tomorrow, and it better be in the garage. And it better be able to go from 0 to 150 in 8 seconds. Sure enough, she got up the next morning. She ran down, opened up the garage door, and there it was, a brand new bathroom scale. Oh, okay. Oh, moving right along. Oh. I mentioned to you this morning our Florida Increase event. And I'm not trying to fill it up. I could fill it up by just changing what it was. But I'm trying to get the right people there. And more than the people this morning, you people here tonight are the right people. Because you have chosen to be here and come here tonight means you're hungry to go to another level. And one of the quickest ways to get to another level is to take and disconnect, interrupt your normal routine, and come apart for a few days and immerse yourself into something, whatever that might be, that you want to have the interruption towards. And you know, I can't think of anything better than coming to Fort Lauderdale, staying on the beach, and surrounding yourself with 500 Christian leaders and achievers from around the world. I mean, we'll have people there from Australia, from England, Sweden, South Africa. I mean, they come from all over to idea exchange and the fellowship as well as to learn. And, you know, while I talk about it, I think we have a little video there. I think it's 3 minutes long. Do you mind? Let's just run that and I'll kind of give you a better feel.
2011 Florida Increase event in Fort Lauderdale, one of Florida's most luxurious destinations. You'll experience waves of relaxation as you discover a place filled with beaches, yachts, fine dining, golf courses, scuba diving, and designer shopping. And the location for our Florida Increase event will be the magnificent Harbor Beach Marriott Resort. Located on South Florida's largest private beach, everything you'll see has been upgraded to give you an exquisite experience of luxury. With featured speaker and trainer of super achievers, Miles Monroe. And our keynote speaker, America's Increase Authority, Bob Harrison. The Florida Increase event takes place September 29th through October 1st, 2011. For registration information, contact us at 918-496-3399 or call us toll-free at 1-800-632-4653. Or check us out on the web at www.increase.org.
Isn't that nice to see you in September? Yeah, I like that. Nice little touch. That was my idea. Oh, yes. Oh, what is that? Norval wanted to say more, but he's done. Okay. A couple years ago, actually been 2.5 years ago now, I decided to put an addition on our house. And what we did is we added a family room to the house, which caused some other things to change. As part of that, I decided to put a television, big screen television, on top of the fireplace in the corner of the family room. And by the way, if you're going to do that, you want to be sure you insulate between the two. So when we hooked this up, and I went down to Best Buy, and I was going to buy a flat screen television. Well, the guy that was taking care of us, to take care of me, he said, do you need a flat screen? I said, well, no, it's going in the corner. It wouldn't matter to me if it's 3 inches or if it's, 10 inches. He said, you could save probably $1,000 if instead of getting a flat screen, you got one that came back a little ways, you know. And he showed me this model, and I said, okay, is it the same kind of quality? He said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll buy it. So I bought it, and I paid somebody to install it. It looked great, but I was so disappointed because the picture was just not what I was expecting. If I looked at it straight on, it was clear. But if you looked at it at an angle or you're sitting in one of the leather couches and you're looking up at it, it just seemed a little grainy, just didn't have that good quality. And I'm thinking, you spend all this money in the family room. The feature is the television that everybody watches. And to compromise a little bit, it's not what you teach. And so I just was bothered with it. But I just said, okay, you got the TV, live with it. Well, after Christmas 2 years ago, I came back. We were out of town from Christmas break, and some of my grandkids had been over the house, and they had just gotten for a Christmas present a new Wii. Is that what you call it? Why? Wii? Wii, yeah. And so to hook it up and use it at my house, they were over at the house, they had to, change some of the wires. And so anyway, when I got back, I didn't know this, but when I turned on my TV, I had no sound. It didn't matter what I did. I couldn't get sound. So I called my guy to come up that knows my IT guy that knows electrical things and this kind of stuff. And he said, oh, my goodness. He said, here's the problem. He said, somebody was fooling around back here, and they just unplugged your sound wires, and he just put the wires back in, and I had my sound. But then here's what he said. He said, have you been dissatisfied with your picture? And I said, yes, why? He said, whoever installed this for you used audio cables for your picture. He said, your TV was wired wrong. You couldn't possibly have a good picture. And so he changed the wires, and the picture that I was supposed to have, I got. But when I realized that, I thought, what he said, you couldn't get the picture you desired because it was wired wrong. And I think how many of us are trying to get a certain picture, have a certain vision of something for our lives, but it's not going to happen because we're wired wrong. And we have to make the decision to rewire ourselves. Yeah. And that's what listening to CDs and MP3 downloads is all about. It's a process of taking the time to change our thinking, and in changing our thinking, we literally change our life. Warren Buffett, who's the richest man in America, he says the greatest investment, somebody said, what is the greatest investment a person can make? Here's what he said. How would you like to know what the richest man in America says is your greatest investment? He says the greatest investment anybody can make is an investment in themselves. And I truly believe that. Because when you invest in yourselves and you change your thinking, you literally change your life. And so I just, again, want to remind you, we have product back at the table. We have it all marked down at discount prices. It's a tremendous opportunity to change your life. And I would just love to drive around with some of you for the next 30 days. Mike came into his pastor's office in, it was either 96 or 97. Mike owned a drywall company, and he was on the verge of going under. And he said, Pastor, I just need some help. And his pastor said to Mike, he said, I could pray for you, but I can't really give you any help because I'm not trained in finances. I'm trained in theology. But he said, somebody gave me these teaching tapes on increase by somebody named Bob Harrison. He said, I haven't had time to listen to him. Now, maybe if he would have, he could have given him advice. But he said, they're around here somewhere. He couldn't even find the album, and he just dumped them loose and gave them to him loose like in a bag. And I drove around on the freeways of Southern California with Mike. And as we drove together, his thinking began to change. His expectation began to change. His attitude began to change. His life began to change. By the way, Mike does not have that drywall company anymore. Mike is now has one of the largest construction companies in Southern California for converting apartments into condominiums. And in this down economy, his business is thriving. And not only has he made a difference in his business, his daughter who is on drugs is back home. He's married. He said it's the best it's ever been. He's involved in an incredible church. He just did a big project for the Dream Center out in Los Angeles and saved Tommy Barnett millions of dollars by doing it on a cost-plus basis. Every area of his life was impacted when his thinking changed. Ryan, if you wouldn't mind bringing me that box just for a second. This is one of the greatest things I think a person can invest in, is a School of Increase box. And if you haven't got it when we've been with you before, I recommend it to you if you really want to change. It has our series on increase, our series on breaking free from the bondage of debt. Now, I do not teach debt elimination. For some people, debt elimination is what you need. You know, I teach debt management because there's a difference between good debt and bad debt, like there's a difference between good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. And so I teach, you know, what is the difference? How do you identify the difference? How you can use good debt to get rid of bad debt? How you recreate your credit in favor with your banker? Secrets of quick financial turnaround. You're going the wrong direction. How do you quickly turn your finances around? Our series on investing. How do you keep your money from going down the tubes? What are the strategies of good investing? Time increase. Don't ask where it went. Tell it where to go. How to increase productivity. Get rid of time wasters. Strategies for success. What are the attitudes of successful people? Anything and everything will only work its best in the right environment. How do you determine the right environment for increase? So those six make up our box. We give away with it free, save a bundle, how to save money on everything you buy, and a DVD audio series that I used to do for corporations. This sells by itself for $195. It's called Fly Free, Stay Free, Cruise Free. You can rapidly earn free airline travel just by using some of the strategies in this series. I was introduced to a business seminar 2 weeks ago in Fort Myers, Florida. And the man that introduced me was a very successful automobile dealer, Hondas and Acuras, in Columbus, Ohio, with his second home on the beach in Fort Myers. And he said, since he learned the strategies in this series, he said he has not bought a plane ticket in the last 10 years just by using one of these strategies. So the money you save on a plane ticket could literally pay for the box. And as I mentioned this morning, the box is about $700 worth of product. Normally we sell it at churches for $350, but we do have an economic stimulus package. Thank you so much. $299 or three payments of $99. Now, this morning I mentioned to you if you wanted to get the box that I would give you the book, but so many people got the box, we're out of books. So we'll give you another bonus tonight. We do have some audio portions of the book. The book has been done in 101 four-minute chapters that you can listen to, just 4 minutes, and you get each chapter. So if you want to get the box, you can get the audio part of the book free. If you don't want the audio part of the book, just pick something else on the table. We'll give that free, okay? We do take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, cash, check, and airline first-class upgrades. The other special we'll have tonight, because some of you have gotten the box since I've been at the church several times, we have some new series out there. This is my newest one, 7 Habits of Highly Productive Palm Trees. I have a second home in the Palm Springs area of California, which is the desert 90 miles west or east of, not west, that'd be the ocean, 90 miles east of Los Angeles. And I noticed that palm trees can thrive when everything else is dying. And so I began to do a study, what enables palm trees to thrive in a difficult environment? And I came up with 7 keys. And they're surviving and thriving during life's desert seasons. And so that's a great series. We have several out there. If you want to get any of our other series, buy 2, get 1 free. And so we'll have that available back there at the table. Also, by the way, I mentioned on the box, if you get the box, anything else in the table is half price. Plus, if you get the box and you want to come to the Florida event, instead of coming for the early bird registration, you get half price. And so that's another bonus that we give. Okay, let's get into what we're going to share tonight, if I can find our cards and our notes. As I mentioned to you this morning, and we're going to piggyback with a quick review, the real key to change in a person's life is recognizing that change does not take place in the conscious mind. Real change only takes place in the subconscious. The Bible says, as a person thinketh in their heart, so are they. So change begins in the conscious, because the conscious is part of the choosing, the sorting, the making decisions and resolving conflict as far as beliefs and how you're going to act and think and whatever. But as I said this morning, once that decision is made, the decision is passed to the subconscious, and from that point on, it becomes an instinctive reaction. And that's very important you recognize that. The subconscious mind only instinctively reacts that fast. There is no thought. There's no comparisons. There's no, idea exchange and anything else. It is instantaneous. And for that reason, the subconscious mind can only work with one belief in any subject area. Because the minute it gets 2, then it has to go back to the conscious to sort it out, and then it gets it back. Now, you remember I said to you today, the best way to visualize the subconscious mind is think of the subconscious mind as potting soil. It will grow whatever seed it's given. So if you give it the wrong seed, it's going to grow the wrong seed. If you give it the right seed, it's going to grow the right seed. So it's very careful. It's very important that we're careful what we send down there, because what we send down there is going to grow automatically. Without thought, it is going to grow, particularly if you feed it with further thoughts or further sights along the same subject area. So the real operating you is that subconscious mind. Because you could maybe consciously, and this is why some people seem schizophrenic at times, because you can operate in the conscious mind under normal circumstances, but then the subconscious mind will manifest itself. And let me tell you when it manifests itself. It will manifest itself in a situation of stress, a situation of fear, or a situation of rapid change. If you find yourself in one of those three areas, stress, fear, or rapid change, then all of a sudden you bypass the conscious and you go to the subconscious, and out comes the reaction that is down there. And it's very possible that a person can have one belief system in the conscious and an opposite belief in the subconscious. Because if they don't take the time to change the subconscious, they just build the new on the old instead of changing the old. But the old is still there. It's just waiting to pop up when there's a time of stress a time of fear, a time of rapid change, or a time of opportunity, and all of a sudden that old belief system that's been ignored and built on for years or months or whatever it might be, it just pops up and you say, where did that come from? Because you didn't take the time, or we didn't take the time, to go down to address it and to change it. That's why some people, they get saved and everything seems to be great for a while, and all of a sudden, boom, we can't figure out what happened. They go back to their old ways because they didn't continue with the process enough to change their old belief system, and they tried to build the new on the old rather than having the new get rid of the old. And so the way you get rid of that old is through what's called normally the law of displacement. The law of displacement. You can't get rid of wrong thinking because you want to get rid of wrong thinking. You know, you can't just shoo it out. I don't want to think this way anymore. Have you ever tried to do that? I don't want to think about this anymore. You know, you can't do it. The way you get rid of wrong thinking is you bring in right thinking. You bring in right thinking. And the entrance of the light gets rid of dark. It's kind of like before we came here tonight. If when the ushers came here, this place was dark. They didn't all of a sudden say, okay, we got to get some brooms and chase the darkness out. No, all they did is what turned on the light. The light displaced the darkness. See, sometimes we spend so much time trying to get rid of the past, you don't have to try to get rid of it, just bring in the new. And the new will get rid of it. And so the key is, if you have an instinctive reaction that you don't like, then that's the time you get your cue. I don't agree with that. I'm going to change that. That's not going to be a part of my life anymore. That's not the way I want to be. And by the way, it's a good way also to find out how the people that are close to you are programmed. Because, see, anybody can seem good, or most anybody, can seem good in the conscious, but that's not the real them. You don't want to know what they're like, you know. It's kind of like I had four daughters, and I was very concerned that they would marry right. I felt one of my responsibilities was to coach them and assist them with this. And control it, actually. No, assist them and coach them with it. And so when I would find that they were beginning to date and get interested in somebody, you know, I said, okay, it's time before they get emotionally involved. There's a timing to all of this, because once emotions set in, you lose your influence, or it's reduced. So before they get too emotionally involved, you know, let's find out what we're dealing with here. So I would invite them to go on a road trip with me. Not a normal one like this. I mean, this would be, and anybody could do this. One of those meetings where I'm doing 10 or 20,000 people, you know, where the product table is mobbed, 8, 10, 12 people deep. And they're having to work that table for 8, 10, and 12 hours. And you say, why would you do that? Because I know how they act when they're in control. I want to see how they act under pressure. I want to see how they deal with other people at the table. I want to see how they deal with customers. I want to see how they handle negative situations. Because, see, in those situations, I'm putting them in a situation where what's down in here is going to come out. And that's the key. I don't know if you read this or not, but, you know, that's how Michelle Obama decided she was going to continue to date Barack. She had him go play basketball with her brother and some of the friends. And they said, now come back and tell me, what's he like when he plays basketball? I want to see what he's like when his guard's down. And if he failed the basketball game, he was through with her. You know? And so sometimes you find situations and you find out, that's how you find out what people are like. That's one reason I really believe that a person does not know who their real loyal close friends are until they've gone through multiple seasons. See, there'll be people that'll be close to you when you're on top. There'll be people that are close to you when you're on the bottom. But your true friends are those that'll be with you whatever season you're going through. See, and so that's why sometimes you can't tell who's really close to you until you go through a stressful or a time of change in the seasons, and then it begins to manifest itself. All right, so we shared this morning the key to making a change in your life, in any area, is number one, you have an awareness. Something happens that gives you an awareness of this is a behavior pattern, this is a thought pattern that is either destructive, it's either holding me back, keeping from experiencing what God wants me to have in my life. So number one, there is something that causes an awareness. Number two, Once there is an awareness is only the beginning of the process. Once there is the awareness, there has to be an interruption. You will continue to think the way you've thought, and you will continue to act the way you've acted until there is an interruption of that power over your life. Something has to interrupt it. Now, sometimes the interruption is outside. It could be an outside event. Something happens, you know, around you or whatever that causes you to begin to think differently. I shared with you this morning, I ran out of toothpaste. So there's an outside something interrupting my normal thing of buying Crest toothpaste. So all of a sudden I had to use Aquafresh. And when I had that interruption, it caused me to think about, oh my goodness, why am I using Crest? So something happened that interrupted the normal routine. I read my newspaper oftentimes online, and so I was reading the Tulsa World today, this afternoon, on my iPad. And they had an article today on a company in Tulsa that makes tornado shelters. They were saying that they normally get, you know, like 25 calls a week. They're getting up to 400 calls a day for people wanting tornado shelters. Why? Something interrupted the normal process. They saw the tornado on the news. They said, maybe what are we going to do? What would we do if this happened to us? Something. There was an outside force that interrupted the way things were going, which causes them to want to change what they would buy or change their priorities. So oftentimes, it's, you know, outside forces that interrupt. But many times, and this is the key to achievers, when they recognize an idea or an action or something that's wrong or negative or taking them in the direction they don't want to go or holding them back, they create the interruption. They choose to create an interruption to change their thought pattern. Those of you that have been with me when I was been here before, I share with you how I had this great turnaround of this Chrysler dealership. And, in one day, I go from 3 employees to 50 employees, go from an unknown business to being on television doing commercials. I mean, it was a total transformation of my life. You know, I'm going from just making enough money to being able to get my family a beautiful house and new cars in the driveway. My total life changed as a result of this turnaround that we did. And yet I was dealing with guilt because my religious background, the thought pattern that I brought to that moment was, God is pleased with enough, he's displeased with more than enough. And now I was living a life of more than enough, so I was feeling guilty for that life. So I then did that study and began to find out God was a God of more than enough. The Bible is a book of how to live a life of more than enough. Abraham had more than enough. Miracles resulted in people having more than enough. He wanted me to have more than enough. See, that was the awareness. That's the conscious part. But the awareness doesn't change the subconscious. I still had to do something. I had to interrupt the old thought process. And how did I do that? Went out and bought a dozen tape recorders. Put a tape recorder in every room of the house. Put a tape recorder in the dash of the car. Carried one on my belt. At every waking moment for 90 days, I listened to teaching tapes on increase in abundance. How did I do it? I went in the Bible and I got verses on increase in abundance. I wrote them on 3x5 cards. I carried them around in my pocket. And when I'd have a few minutes somewhere to relax, I'd pull them out and I'd say those verses out loud. And every time I said a verse, I drove lack and poverty and fixed pie thinking out of my life until I became an increased person. See, so I saw a thought pattern that was holding me back, and I figured out a way to interrupt and change that thought pattern. And so I would say to you, as we've been talking about this morning, have you been thinking about some thought patterns or habit patterns that you're not pleased with in your life? Then I would say to you, what can you do to interrupt them? And by the way, it's not just finances. Let's get over in my personal life a little bit. In my previous life, I allowed myself to... I've tried to be a perfectionist in everything. And because of that, I literally drove sometimes my staff crazy. Because everything had to be perfect because I had this false expectation of perfection. I believe in excellence, but the difference between excellence and perfection. And I would push myself too hard. And because of that, I lived just below the exploding point. And something little might happen, and I would just lose it. And I just said, that's just me. Well, one day I came to the realization, just me doesn't have to keep being just me. Me can change. You know, I have power over my habit patterns. I have power over the way that I think. And so I said, this is not a behavior pattern I want to have anymore. And so I came up with a program to change that. Now, I'll share it with you at the end. Remind me when we get the cost benefit, I'll tell you what I did. Well, I'll tell you right now. All right? The first, then when we do cost benefit, it'll come back to you. The first thing I did, I said, okay, you've got to interrupt the pattern. So I started wearing a rubber band above my watch. And if I ever got short with somebody, I didn't have to be a blow up, but if I ever got short with somebody or I felt I was rude or not acting the way I wanted to, I pulled that rubber band and snapped it against my arm. No, it's not a major thing, but it was enough to interrupt. Ooh, yes, you don't want to do that anymore. Ooh, you don't want to do that anymore. So just that little bit of a thing, carrying a rubber band, helped me. Then I got to analyzing, and I realized that if I normally tended to get upset between 3 and 6. So I thought, is there any reason why I'm more susceptible to getting upset late afternoon than other times? So I went and had a physical, had a blood sugar test, and found that I was borderline hypoglycemia, and my blood sugar would drop late afternoon, which made me more irritable. And the doctor said, if you'll have a snack in the afternoon, that'll help you. I had a snack. Man, that made me so much better. People love me having a snack. So I was improving, but I still wasn't there. Then there was this time I got upset with one of our employees. And I felt so bad about it. It was during one of the events. And they deserved to be upset about it, but they didn't. Anyway, so I got upset about something that was happening. And I said, this is not you, so help me. You are going to change. So I take the interruption to the next level. I went to my room. I got a bar of Dial soap. And I ate 1/3 of a bar of Dial soap. I was determined to interrupt the pattern. And I put the bar down there, and I said, it's waiting for you the next time. And the next time, I took a bar of Dial soap, and I wrote a $1,000 check. Guarantee you, that got my attention. Until by those interruptions, I broke the power of that habit pattern off of my life. Can you see that? So sometimes we have to choose, you know, to interrupt it and to break that pattern off of our life. And that's the real key. But sometimes it takes more than just thinking. This is what we wanted to talk about tonight a little bit. Sometimes those thought patterns are tied into something, some emotional hurt, emotional stronghold, or emotional memory of our past. And you normally cannot break an emotional stronghold with thinking. You have to break it with emotions as well as thinking. You have to go to another level. And so one of the things I'd recommend to you this week is maybe if you've been trying the thinking process, you've been trying the rubber band or whatever it might be, you've been trying to make changes in areas of life, thinking whatever it might be, go to another level and add emotions to it. How can you add feeling to it? Some of you say, okay, what is he talking about? All right. I was speaking a while ago in the Pyramid, which is the convention center in Memphis. And sharing the stage with me there was the number one multi-level marketing person in the world. Had the largest multi-level marketing organization in the world. And he was teaching that day how to be a success in network marketing and how to overcome rejection. And he gave three keys. He said, number one, he said, I want you to make a list of 10 things that you really want to have, possess, experience, or give. I want you to make a list of 10 things you really want to have, experience, possess, or give. Write down the list. He said, because you've got to have a reason for putting forth the effort or you're not going to stick with it. It'll be temporary. Now that's thought. See, that's the mind. Make a list. But now look what he said, number two. Number two, I want you to get a picture of each thing on that list. And I want you to create a dream board. And I want you every day, every morning and every night, to stand before your dream board and see and visualize the things that you're believing for. See, can you see he's getting feelings in? Then he says, number three. Number three, I want you to go down whenever possible and sit in or touch or experience one of those 10 things each week. Because, see, he got it out of the mind into the feeling arena. And when he got into the feeling arena, what he's saying is, if you begin to see the future, it'll help you to leave the past. If you begin to see the dream, it'll help you to begin to believe that that could be yours. And then you begin to feel it. You know, if you want to, you know, say, I need to get another car. It's one thing to say, I'm going to write down a list and say, I need to get a car. But how many of you know if you start looking at pictures of the cars, you're going to start thinking of it. You're going to maybe thinking of ways to get a deal on it. You're going to start getting more dissatisfied with your car. Now, how about, you know, if you go drive it and smell the leather seat, all of a sudden your car doesn't seem the same anymore. Yeah. See, and so that's what he's talking about applied into the behavior area of life. Let me give you another example. Several years ago now, I was out in Phoenix. I was speaking at a large church on Sunday morning, and I got a call from a pastor that had a smaller church, and he asked if I would come and speak to his at his church. He'd been to one of our events, and since I was going to be in the area anyway, I said, yes, let's do it. I'll do Sunday night. So we came, and I spoke for his church. It was under 100 people, but it was a good service, and I was just impressed with this pastor because he was so hungry for change. And we went out afterwards. We visited for a few minutes, and he told me that he just had a real burden to reach the achievers of Scottsdale and Phoenix. That's what he felt his call was. He said, could you give me some suggestions? Now, I'm normally very nice in these situations, but if a person's sincere, I'm like a doctor. If you ask a doctor to tell you what to do and he doesn't tell you what to do, he's doing you a disservice. So I said, okay. I said, if you want to reach the inner city people, then where your church is located is in the right place. If you want to reach achievers, you got to move. Because you've got to be in the location that achievers are used to coming to. So I said, number one, you got to move your church. I said, number two, while you're moving it, you should probably change the name. I said, number three, I said, if you're going to reach achievers, you really need to drive at least a nice car. It doesn't have to be a luxury car. It doesn't have to be a new car. But you have to drive a nice car. I said, if I still own my dealership, and you came to see me and you were trading in the car you're driving, I said, I wouldn't appraise it. I said, I'd weigh it. I was brutal. Yeah. All right. And then the third thing I said to him was, I want you every Sunday after church, you and your wife, I want you to drive into Scottsdale, and I want you to walk around the Biltmore Mall. I said, you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to go anywhere. I just want you to walk around there for 20 or 30 minutes every Sunday. He said, why? I said, because you need to get used to that environment, because that's the environment the people that you're trying to reach are used to. He said, how many Sundays do I do it? I said, you do it until you're more comfortable there than you are at Walmart. I said, because that's the key. See, I was trying to figure out ways to interrupt his thought process, but also bring emotions in so he'd begin to feel who he was trying to reach and what was trying to happen. And so ask yourself, are there mental interruptions you can create? Are there emotional interruptions that you need to add or create to cause change to take place? Okay. It's one reason I showed you the video of the Florida event. I could sit and talk to you. How many of you know you feel more a part of the event when you saw the pictures? See? And so that's the power. I brought in a little bit of emotions to it. All right. Another one that really makes a difference is I don't think we're fully aware of the power of influence of the friends that we associate with. Most people have friends. Achievers choose friends. There's a difference. Most people have friends. Achievers choose friends. See, friends come into our life primarily on the basis of commonality. We are the same parents of the same little league team, or we go to the same work at the same place, or we have this, or we have that. I mean, because of that, we see people on a regular basis. We find we have things in common, and so we form friendships. And there's nothing wrong with that, because commonality is one of the real keys that causes binding relationships and causing us to feel close to people. But if we're not selecting any of our friends. And we're choosing our friends on the basis of commonality. Is it not possible then, when we want to go to a higher level, that the very friendships that we cherish could be preventing us from going to that level if they don't want to go to the next level with us? Can you see that? Because if all your friends are at the same level you're at, then where's the force pulling you up? And by the way, where's the force holding you down? For that reason, I recommend, if you really want to go to another level, take inventory of your 10 closest friends. In fact, it'd be a good exercise this week. Make a list of the 10 people you feel the closest to. Just write down, randomly write down a name. Don't analyze it in advance, or it ruins what you're going to do. Just write down, these are my 10 closest friends. Then ask yourself, are these people adding to my life? Are there any of these people taken away from my life? Are these people a positive influence or a negative influence? Do these people believe in my future, or would these people hold me back? You know, and you're going to find maybe that there's some people that you're close to that literally are forces holding you where you are and keeping you from advancing. You say, what do you do when you identify those? Invite them for a long walk on a short pier. No. One of the superstars, if you want to call him that, that I've been privileged to be close to, in the seminars, teaching the Get Motivated seminars, I get to be around some incredible people and get to visit with them and idea exchange with them. You know, like one day in St. Louis, I had lunch with Margaret Thatcher, former Prime Minister of England, had dinner with Gorbachev. I mean, that's a good day. But and so when I'm around these people, I try to learn from them. And one of the ones that of all the people that I've been around in my 15 years of speaking in these seminars, it was General Colin Powell. I just was so impressed with him as a person. And one of the things he said was about friends. He says, I've come to recognize that friends are one of the most cherished, valuable things you'll ever have in your life. Nurture them and take care of them. So if you have somebody that you've been close to for years in a relationship and they're negative on your life or they're not going to advance, I'm not saying to dump them. I'm not saying they can't be a part of your life. What I'm saying is just don't have them on the inner circle. Yeah. Reduce the influence that they have on your life so you can still have the fellowship, you can still have the relationship, but they're not a force that's going to hold you back and keep you from advancing. Now, I got my real awareness of the importance of this. For years, I used to teach at a Super Achiever seminar out in California. It was a really neat seminar. It was a seminar created for people that had an idea or an invention or a product, but they didn't know what to do with it. And so they created a 5-day seminar where you would come with your book, your idea, your project, whatever, and they would first of all instill in you the believability that you could do something with it, but then they put together, they'd form teams and put together a marketing package, a financing package, you know, and all the different things. And when you left, your dream had feet to it. You could figure out how to make it work in 5 days. Great seminar. And they brought me in to teach on creating the increased mindset, to start believing and thinking beyond where you've thought beyond even before. Well, I was visiting with the head guy that put this on, and he was sharing with me a real frustration that he had. And he said, my problem is these people come in here, and in this environment, they get all inspired, they get creative, they figure out a way to advance their product, they go back to their home. And many of them, within 4 to 6 weeks, they're right back where they were before. He said, and I figured out what the problem was. As long as they were in a circle of excellence, they were creative. They went back to their circle of mediocrity, yeah, and it sucked it out of them. So if you're in a circle of mediocrity, then you have to make a choice, make some changes, you know, and begin to create some vacancies and then start looking for friends that can add to your life. I'm always trying to have people that are friends of mine that are higher than me or more advanced than me spiritually, more advanced than me maybe in business, more advanced than me maybe in speaking. Because see, then those are forces that are pulling me up and causing me to grow. That's why every year I'm not the same as I was the year before. Every year I grow because I have people close to me that I deliberately choose to be around that are a level that's higher than me. And so take inventory of your friends. That would be a real key. Another one I'd recommend to you is this. Start giving based upon where you want to be rather than where you are. I came across a true story. This little 10-year-old boy was apparently with his parents, and this vice president of a college in South Carolina checked into the same hotel. And the vice president goes to the vending machine in the hallway, and here's this 10-year-old boy at the vending machine. And the little boy puts a quarter in and another quarter in, and the vice president's waiting to use the machine. The boy puts another quarter in, another quarter in. Then he puts another quarter in, another quarter in. Then he puts another quarter in, another quarter in. And finally, the vice president says to the little boy, Sonny, stop. You're putting way too much money in that machine. And the little boy turns him with a grin on his face and says, no, I'm not. The more money I put in, the more stuff I get out. But see, so oftentimes we're trying to get out of the bank what we haven't put in. You couldn't get more out of your local bank than you put in. So what makes you think you can get more out of the heavenly bank than you put in? There's a relationship between the two. But here's the problem that I see so many times. When things begin to get tight, one of the first things many people do is they go, oh my goodness, I got to cut back. And certain areas of cut back is okay, but they cut back in their giving. And in cutting back in their giving, they cut back in their seed. And cutting back in the seed that they plant, they cut back on the harvest. So in the time they need a bigger harvest, they actually get a smaller harvest because they're planting less seed. So we actually need to begin to change our thinking. And we need to say, listen, when things get bad, we plant more seed. Because that's when we need the greater harvest. I was flying up to Tulsa a while ago, and I was sitting next to this man that we'd been in first class for three or four times, and flying Dallas to Tulsa just by coincidence. So this time we happened to sit together. So I said, I'm going to get acquainted with him. I said, what do you do traveling all the time? Like, you know, I'm an evangelist, and I didn't think he was in ministry. He said, I travel around the country. He says, companies pay me to go to home and garden shows and sit at booths and autograph my books and just be there. And I said, wow. And he shared with me how he just had his own garden in his backyard in Tulsa, and some Tulsa news station came and had him do a broadcast once or twice a week on gardening and stuff. They found out about him, and they went home. Home and Garden Cable started their channel. What do you call it? Home and Garden HGTV, Home and Garden Television? Yeah. They found out about it, and he applied, and anyway, he ended up getting his own program. Maybe you watched him, Paul James. And so for years he had a program on there, and then he flies all over. And so I said, okay, I got an expert. Anytime you're around an expert, learn from him. So I said to him, okay, my lawn turns brown when it gets really hot. I said, could you give me some pointers on what to do, you know, to have my lawn be green when it's harsh? And then in the winter, it stops being green. He said, what you need to do, he said, you need to plant two different kinds of seed. You need to have a summer seed and a winter seed. And you plant different seeds for different seasons. He said, then you'll have your grass growing in whatever season you're in. I now have green grass 12 months a year. But then the other thing he said, if you think the summer's going to be harsh, he said, plant double seed. I never forgot that. If you think you're going to go through a harsh season, plant double seed to be sure that you have the lawn that you want to have. And so I would say to some of you, maybe reconsider. Instead of cutting back when things are tough, start increasing with tough. Instead of increasing your seed, instead of your seed being a reflection of where you've been, have your seed lead you where you want to go. And when you do that, I believe it's going to make a great difference in your life. The Bible says there is that scattereth and yet increases. The liberal person shall be made rich. By watering others, they water themselves. And one of the stories that I found in the Bible that is a healing story, but I believe it goes along with giving, it's the story of Jesus when he came to the man with a withered hand. And he said, stretch forth your hand. And when he stretched it forth, it was made whole. So sometimes even in our negative situation, it's when we stretch that God's power comes into that situation and makes a difference in our life. And sometimes, by the way, I believe there's times when the change can come fast. I've seen people make a decision of giving a gift in an offering, and before they could leave the room, God had done a miracle in their life. But oftentimes it's a process. Their giving creates expectation. Their giving puts them in the arena of faith, putting their trust in God. See, when you give, even in difficult times, you say, God, I believe you're my source. So the bank's not my source. My employer's not my source. I believe you're my source, and I'm evidencing that, or showing evidence of that by my giving. And so I would strongly encourage you, and I'd ask you this question. When was the last time you did something for the first time? You know, one of the people that I speak for, one of the countries I'm really having a tremendous impact on right now, our ministry, is the country of Brazil. Brazil is a remarkable country. It's emerging. It reminds me of America years ago, just really getting a hold economically and coming alive and people having an expectation. And there's just a tremendous need for teaching, an increase there right now. Well, I won't get into the story, but through an unbelievable set of circumstances, me having a disaster meeting in Fort Lauderdale area where my interpreter couldn't interpret and had to have somebody in the audience help him. And that person came up and then became my interpreter. And that interpreter then asked me if I'd go speak at some minister's conference in Brazil. And the next thing I know, 5 weeks later, in Brazil speaking to 2,000 pastors. That country just opened up to me. And the person that I oftentimes speak for is now the largest televangelist in the country. His current budget is over $1 million a month. And he's just really impacting that country. But when he decided to go on television, he started raising money to get the equipment he needed, about $100,000. And he had $10,000 of that money in an account, needed $90,000 more. And he was in a meeting, and in that meeting, God spoke to him and said, I want you to give the $10,000 in your account. Now, if the mind will wreak havoc with us in those situations. Because if you give the 10, you're now back to zero, and you've got to raise 100. So it looks like you're going backwards. But see, when we obey what God tells us to do, then God comes on the scene. He didn't make a big deal about it. It wasn't a matter of everybody's going to give 10,000, run up here so everybody could see you're one of the 10,000. It wasn't that. It was just fill it out an envelope. Nobody knows what the envelope was. And so you just walk the envelope up. So they didn't know if he put down 100 or 10,000. But he walks that envelope up. He puts it in the bucket. He turns around and walks back. And before he could get back to his seat, a lady got out of her seat and said, God just spoke to me when you walked up there and said, I was to give you $50,000 to your ministry. He couldn't even sit down and his 10 became 50. And before he left that day, somebody else gave him 40, and within the week, he had $100,000. Yeah. See, when he dared to believe God, then his whole situation changed. And so I would say to you, dare to believe God. And then the last one that I'll share with you tonight, and this is one that to me is so powerful, because it's something that I've discovered years ago through a friend of mine, who taught for 16 years in a row at my Hawaii Increase event, had such a great influence in my life, and unexpectedly passed away at the age of 61 just 5 weeks ago. And it really let me know, you know, we just think time is going to go on forever, but time can end fast. 5:41 p.m., you know, on a Sunday night, that tornado swept through Joplin, Missouri. It changed the lives of a lot of people. I was there last Wednesday. I want to tell you, the pictures, the news media, you can't catch a feel of what happened. The destruction is unbelievable. It looked like Hiroshima. It looked like the place was bombed out. I drove for 6 miles. 6 miles. And as far as I could see, there wasn't a house standing. The only thing I could find was that hospital that was blown out. I mean, if you can just imagine that kind of destruction, you know. But he had an unknown leak in his aorta valve, and they didn't know it, and he passed away on the phone making a sales call. So it can change fast, but Brian Klemmer was a great teacher, and Brian taught on what is called the cost-benefit formula. See, I can tell you as a result of what I learned from him and what I've experienced in my life, I can tell you when somebody's going to make a major change. I can actually tell you when somebody in this room will go back to that table and buy the School of Increase box. I can tell you when somebody's going to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I can tell you when somebody's going to make a decision to get rid of their old car and get a new car. I can tell you when somebody's going to make a decision to get married instead of be single. Do you want to know when it is? It's when in their mind, the benefit of the change is greater than the cost or the pain of the change. As long as we believe the pain or the cost is greater than the benefit, we'll stay the way we are. But when we believe that the benefit is greater than the pain or the cost, that's when we'll make the change. Now, it's called the cost-benefit formula. And when you understand this, you can understand then, how do you cause change in your own life? Let's go back to my story of trying to make the change in my life, dealing with me losing my cool once in a while. What did I do? I put a rubber band on my hand. What was that? Pain. So, and then that didn't fully do it, so what did I do? Ate a bar, third bar of Dial soap. How many of you know that's greater pain than the rubber band? So I increased the pain. So one way I can change behavior is I add pain to a behavior I don't want to have. I had a project at the ministry. You love this one, Pastor. I kept putting it off and putting it off. And finally, you know, my staff says, we got to have this. I know. And finally I said, okay, I'll put pain on it. I said to my production guy, I said, if I don't have this done to you in 2 weeks. Oh, I got to tell you what we have. One of our ministry vehicles, we had a van that got over 100,000 miles, so we replaced it. But we decided just to keep it for runs to the dump, or, you know, you always kind of need to have one old vehicle around. So we park it behind the warehouse, and we just keep it for, you know, when we need something really junky. I said, I will have this to you in 2 weeks, or beginning 2 weeks from today, I'll drive that van. Believe me, I got the project done. Because, see, I put pain in it. Or it could be a benefit. If I get this done, or if I get this done, I'm going to take a week and go to Hawaii. If I get this done, I'm going to go out and get a hot fudge sundae or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be. It could be little things. So we can begin to motivate change in our own life by giving ourselves pain or giving ourselves reward. Those of you in business, many times this is the key to making a sale or not making a sale. Rather than just negotiating price, start thinking cost-benefit. What benefit can you give to them that maybe is of great value to them and of low cost to you? Is there some benefits that you can add that'll tilt it? So all of a sudden they say, oh yeah, I'll do that, because now you've increased the benefits. And so beginning to think that way. Or how about maybe you could reduce the cost or the pain of the cost, right? If you notice, oftentimes when I hold up our School of Increase box, I talk about the benefits. This will do this, this will do that, this will do that, this will do that. Then I come over to the cost. And I start with the regular price, then I give the discount price, then I give the super duper price. And then I make the pain even less. I say, you can do 3 payments of $99. See, I'm working the cost-benefit formula to try and say, all right, I know this is going to help the people. What can I do to those people that really need this to help them get it? I use the cost-benefit formula. I even use it with my grandkids. Now, I love my grandkids, but sometimes, oh my goodness. See, grandkids are good because you can enjoy them and send them home. But they're difficult also because you don't have the authority to discipline them like the parents if they're rowdy. So the benefit is you can send them home, but the negative is you don't have the same authority over them discipline-wise. So if they get out of hand, you can talk, but you can't do a whole lot more than that unless you know the formula. A few years ago, I took three of my grandsons and a friend of theirs out to dinner. I could tell in the car that this was going to be one of those nights. They were just a little out of hand in the car. So when I got to the restaurant, I asked if they had any outdoor tables. Dean, I didn't want to be embarrassed trying to take care of everybody. So I got them an outdoor table, but they still were out of control. I don't know if you've ever been around kids this way. They just, you know, elbow each other, or they kick each other into the table. I mean, you don't know what, they don't even know why they're doing it. They're just doing it to do it, you know? So finally, the ringleader was little Joshua. I spotted who the ringleader was. So I said, Joshua, I can't take this anymore. I said, you get a timeout. And so I made him go over and sit at an adjacent table all by himself. I said, and when you relax and get under control, you're coming back. So he sat over there and he seemed to be fine. So I brought him back and I'm within 10 seconds. Dring, dring, dring. This thing's going again. And I think, oh no, what am I going to do? And then I thought, cost benefit formula. I reach in my pocket. I pull out just a simple little dollar and I lay it on the table. And little Joshua looks at that and he says, what's that? I said, that's a dollar. He says, what's it there for? I said, well, I'm giving that to the one of the four of you that is the best behaved for the rest of this night. I had four different grandkids. They were so well behaved, I couldn't believe that they were the same four kids. It's amazing what a dollar can do. But what did I do? I gave them a benefit of the change. See, instead of verbally trying to correct them, or I'm going to spank you, or I'm going to take you, I began to instead work the formula. And so I would say to you, in sales situation, in your own personal life, in dealing with others, start thinking in terms of, how can I reduce the pain, or how can I reduce the price, or what can I do to increase the benefit to cause them to want to make the change. These are simple keys, but I'm telling you, we're getting down to the root of what causes behavior to change and how people break out and begin to experience a new life. I truly believe that there's some of you, because of the investment you've made to come here tonight, if you will activate the principles that we've shared tonight, I believe this year is your year of breakthrough. I truly believe that. I'm not just blowing out air. I truly believe this is your year of breakthrough. This can be the year that you begin to take off to a whole new level. And as I said this morning, change does not depend upon the economy. Change does not depend upon an increase in what's happening around you as much as what is happening within you. And so I encourage you, determine to make the change. Now, here is the biggest problem that some of you are going to have. You're going to walk out of here with notes. You're going to walk out of here with inspiration. You're going to walk out of here with ideas that you've gotten. But if all you do is have notes and inspiration and ideas and don't do anything with it, you're not going to change. The key is, what are you going to do? How many today or tonight have caught something, at least something that we've shared, that you say, man, I can take this and I can run with this. I can do something this week. Have you caught something? Yeah. Great. Well, the key is then you need to do it. You know, three men after a memorial service decided to go out to Starbucks and get some coffee. And they were thinking in terms of memorial services, and one of them said to the other two, he said, when somebody does a eulogy for you, what do you want them to say about you? And the first one said, well, I want them to say I was really dedicated and devoted to my family. That I always tried to put my family first and raise my kids and make them be a priority of my life. And they said, that's good. Then they said to the second one, what do you want them to say about you? And the second guy said, I want them to say that I cared about needy and hurting people. I was trying to reach out and help other people. And I said, man, that's great. And they said to the third one, what do you want them to say about you? He said, I want him to walk up to my casket and say, look, he's moving. And I would say that to you. Look, he's moving. So don't just walk out of here with notes tonight, but move. Do something with it. The increase within your reach. It is. And you can draw on the power of today. And you can. But this power is going to get less and less each day as you get further away from this moment. So the most power you're going to have is tomorrow. It'll be a little bit less the next day, a little bit less the next day. So while you still have the power of the memory, of this emotions, of the prayer that we're going to make, that's the time to start the change. And then I believe that next time we see you, there's going to be breakthroughs and increase in your life. Are you ready for that? Yeah. Let's say this prayer together. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for your word. Lord, and your word does show you do want me to increase. Lord, show me the changes they need to make. And I determine today, I am going to do my best to change and to bring increase into my life. And I thank you now, and I praise you for the increase that's coming my way. Now praise and thank him for that. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We worship you. We thank you for that, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name.